Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a fine, catch me a catch.
Hi, I'm Catherine Debs. Would you like to know how to marry a fabulous man? Well, the woman who can tell you how to make that happen is here. Perry Livermore is one of the best matchmakers in the country. In fact, she set me up with my husband. Perry?
Thanks, Catherine. If you feel like you're spinning your wheels when it comes to finding a husband, I've written a book just for you, How to Marry a Fabulous Man. My book is based on years of feedback from men. They tell me what women do to make them fall in love and pop the question. They also tell me what women do wrong. So if walking down the aisle is your dream, you've come to the right place. Today we're going to be talking about banning those bad boys.
So if you want to marry a fabulous man, you have to make sure you're not dating a bad boy.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
What is the definition of a bad boy, Perry?
Let's talk about what it isn't right now. A lot of women think if they're dating a guy and he's dating maybe one or two other women, that he's a bad boy. But that just isn't so. In fact, Lorne Bacall always liked to say that men are like fish. They all get caught in the end. It just depends on what bait you use. So just because he's dating a couple of women and just because he's not interested in marrying you doesn't make him a bad boy. In fact, the one piece of advice I can tell you about whether or not a man is dating other women is this. If you say to a guy, hey, you know, are you ready for a commitment? Do you want to get married? That's like the kiss of death. In fact, a comedian, Wendy Lieberman, says, if you want to get married and have a baby, don't let him know. He will leave skid marks. And they do. You don't want to ever say that to a man because you lose all your power.
Should you date men that are married?
Absolutely not. Don't forget, he is breaking the biggest responsibility, the biggest commitment that he has. But beware also, if he's cheating on her, if you marry him, he'll be cheating on you. I say, Catherine, once a zipper problem, always a zipper problem.
Zip.
If you've got a guy who's cheating on you, a lot of women sort of say to themselves, well, you know, he will be different with me. Even if he's a cheater, I know he cheated on his wife. I know he cheated on his last four or five girlfriends. But for me, he will be different. As Natalie Wood says, the only time that you can really change a man is when he is a baby. So yes. You can't change him. If he's going to cheat on you, he's going to cheat on you. And I'm sure that when you think about people like Hillary Clinton, where the subject comes up again and it comes up again, I think that if you got a cheater, you might be able to turn a blind eye if you really love him. But it is a very painful process because it is more a question about his character than anything else. If he has the kind of character that allows himself to cheat on you, he will probably always
cheat
be that way.
Cheat in business, cheat on the bank account, who knows where it
who
will
knows
lead.
What will lead. But basically, it does show a fault of character.
Perry, what do you do about a man who is too controlling?
If a man is too controlling, that's not loving you. That's owning you. And men need to know that women in today's world, they don't want to be just having the hearth and home to deal with. They want to make accomplishments. They want to be able to have experiences that make them grow. So if a man is not allowing you to do this, what he has to realize is he's not having the best experience himself, because a woman is not happy unless she has accomplishments and experiences. In fact, a lot of men want a woman now to be accomplished. In fact, I always say the new trophy wife went to the Harvard Business School. If she's not doing something, a lot of his friends will say behind his back, what's wrong with Bob that he can't find a more accomplished woman than that?
Perry, what about the guys that say one thing and do another?
Don't think about what he says. Think about what he does. Pretend it's a pantomime. Forget his words.
Watch his feet.
Watch his feet. That's right. And some men, now, it's interesting, some men, you can watch their feet and they're doing always the right thing and they don't say all the beautiful things to you, but they speak with their feet. So after a while, he may be more comfortable with his words. But the important thing is to watch what he does. it's far more important than listening to what he says.
Perry, is it important to observe how a man interacts with his family, particularly his mother?
Mamma mia, does it show again?
Catherine, you can tell by the way he treats his mother the way he will eventually be treating you. So make sure that you pay close attention to how he treats mom. If a man has had a strong, intelligent mother who he had a good relationship with and who's very independent, then he will not be so controlling. He will allow you to be strong and independent as well. And you should watch out for any unresolved conflicts. Many men often marry people that remind them of their mothers. For instance, there are a lot of men, they say, well, how did he ever wind up with her? And she drinks so much, or she's a little mean or something, or she's very mean. And you realize then if you get to talking to him or you meet his mother, you say, aha, that's how that happened.
My husband is a prince to his mother.
Well, hey.
As you know.
Hey, then I'm sure he's a prince
then
to
I'm
you.
Then I'm lucky. I'm very
yes,
lucky.
Yes, you're very lucky. In fact, it isn't all bad. Lots of times if a man is very close to his mother, some women will say, well, gee, is he a mama's boy? But actually, this is a good thing. It's not all bad. If a man is always trying to please his mother, you will become his love interest in the way he feels about women, and he will always be trying to please you. And he will look to you for affirmation and affection, and if you give it to him, he could be yours for life.
Perry, I think that's great, but how do you know when a man is a little bit too attached to his mother? What signs would you see?
Well, I have seen some relationships where sometimes the mother has to die in order for a man to have a relationship with a woman. That does happen. Sometimes you can never replace mom, but I think that's rare. I think you can use a lot of transference. If you get really close to a man and who's very close to his mother, you can sort of use the transference. You can become his love interest, his mother figure. And after all of us are so many things to our men. We're partly their daughters, partly their sisters, partly their wives, and oftentimes we are also their mother. And we have different roles. The most ideal relationship is sometimes you're making dinner, giving him his vitamins, telling him to wear his raincoat, and you're sort of his mom. And other times you're his daughter. And you say, oh, gee, thank you so much for giving me this wonderful gift, or can I have another this or that?
Oh, thanks for this great experience.
Yeah. So you become many things to your man when you marry him especially, and largely if you're dating him for a long period of time.
So you have to be flexible.
You have to be flexible. But men who are—
And enjoy each role.
Enjoy each role. And to have a really good relationship, you really need a lot of that, a lot of this and a lot of that to really make it work. So it's okay if he's really, really close to his mom, although sometimes there is a conflict and you'll have to wait until mom is suddenly, sadly out of the picture. Catherine, joining us now to talk more about banning the bad boys is psychologist Dr. Gail Delaney. She's got a PhD from Princeton, and she's also an author and a dating coach. Gail, you know, a lot of women are fascinated by those bad boys.
Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
What should these women do about them?
Well, Perry, there's sort of two stages. First, you have to identify the guy who's a problem, the bad guy, and then you have to figure out what to do about it. So let's talk about the worst of the abusers. These are the physical abusers. What are they like? Well, they're extremely controlling, extremely possessive. They usually have a history of being quick to anger and abuse in their own family, abuse in past relationships. Remember, these guys do not change. No guy is going to change for you. You have to change yourself and get out.
So, Gail, how do you spot men who are mentally or emotionally abusive?
His main thing is he tears you down. And in the first two or three dates, they'll put you down. They'll criticize you. This is not going to go away. It escalates. It gets worse. And you start feeling awful about yourself.
What do you say to a woman who says, I can change him. I know I can make him into a better man. Or I know he loves me enough, so he might have done it before, but he's not going to do it with me.
It's the terrible training most women get in codependence of turning the other cheek, of being the woman who loves her man no matter how much wrong he does, the women who write to the murderers in jail and say they want to marry them. This is a very sick part of our culture. Women have got to grow up and say, now, what kind of traits in a man are going to make me happy? I don't save people unless I get paid for it as a therapist. That's what you got to tell yourself. And let's face it, once you're trained as a therapist, you'll find out that most of these people have very bad prognoses. There's very little you can do for them. And being in a relationship as the woman is the worst thing you can do with them.
What about drinking? That's a different kind of abuse, drinking and drug abuse. Can you tell us something about that?
That's our number three guy, the substance abuser. And the way to find out about that is act naive. It's one of our great powers as women. You go on a date, you smile, you listen, you count how many drinks the guy has without showing any sign that you care. You should be driving yourself on the first date or two anyway. And listen to how he talks about alcohol. How does he grab his glass? Does he have a lot of stories about alcohol and drinking? And then if you have any suspicion that he's into drugs, say, what drugs have you ever tried? Just, you know, dumb and, you know, curious. And then listen to what he has to say. Then you use your grown-up brain and you get out of the relationship. You don't want to start a relationship with an abuser. The chances of that working out are slim, not impossible like the other two, but very, very slim. And don't expect him to tell you the truth. You have to observe. Remember, observe and ask questions. And then use your grown-up brain to check with reality and get out. Because there are a lot of good men out there. Don't waste your time with these three men, these three abusers.
Gail, what are some other red flag issues?
Everybody's a little crazy. So you can't look for a man who's totally healthy because you're not totally healthy. We're all a little bit narcissistic. We're all a little bit depressive sometimes. But it's a question of degree. Think about manic depression, guys who have high swings of high energy and high spending, and then they get depressed. The obsessive compulsive disorder, the guy who has to check to see if his car is locked 30 times or has to check all his papers. If that's too extreme, you'll have a devil of a time living with him. Is he paranoid? That's dangerous. People who believe everybody else is out to get them. And does he have depression and anxiety disorder? Ask him if he's taking any drugs for his depression or if he ever has. Listen and then go and do your research on the web. If you think he has a real serious psychiatric disorder, go to a psychiatrist yourself and ask for the lowdown on that disorder and the prognosis. See if that's a deal you want to enter into. It's not impossible. A lot of wonderful people are depressed and they deal with it.
What about con men or gold diggers? They can be very seductive.
They're very sexually attractive because they're not afraid of you. These are men who come at you. They know what women want, and they give it to you. They give you the compliments, the flowers, the presents, maybe even a car, set you up in business. But then suddenly, there's a cash flow problem. I wonder if you could, you know, lend me $20,000 for a few months until this clears up. Oh, that didn't quite do it. I have another $20,000. Could you, you know, I have $3 million here and $5 million there, and it'll come in any week now. Don't fall for that. Many bright women do, because the guy looks like he's very generous. He looks very sexy because he's not afraid of you. He's not timid and shy. Con men, you'll never be happy with a con man, and those are another type of personality, like character, that does not change. Men don't change for you. You're not going to save him. Get on and get out there and find the good men of the world.
Some men are a little stingy. Is that a bad sign? I always like a generous heart myself, not just with money, but I like generosity, and I find that lots of times if a guy is really stingy, then he's also sort of a little stingy about being sweet or kind or generous with his compliments. Is that true?
You're not kidding, and they're stingy with their foreplay. So you will not have a good sexual life with these guys either. They're stingy. That's not going to change.
So are you saying the best lovers are generous men?
Oh, yes. Because they look to see what their partner wants. And you'll be a good lover if you're interested in being generous to your lover.
Gail, you have a category called low-quality men. Who are they?
I describe them as irritable, easily angry, they're rude, they're vindictive, and they're pessimistic. They're narcissistic and just plain selfish. Now, you can forgive a guy for some degree of all of this, but he has too many of these traits. You will have a miserable life. You just be with a nice person. Think about looking for men who have positive traits like kindness, generosity of spirit, which you just mentioned, Perry. They're optimistic. They have a basic friendliness toward the world, a playfulness, an openness to learning new things.
You know, Gail, there are a lot of women who are convinced that they can change a man, that they can, with their help, the man will completely do a metamorphosis, that he will completely change and they can help him and they want to help him. And somehow these men often convince these women that tomorrow will be another day.
Perry, This is a problem in our society that has gone on for millennia, because women have been the weaker sex, the weaker economically, the weaker and dependent in so many ways. And women have been taught by our plays, by our musicals, think of Oliver, by almost all the novels in the world, that if a woman only would love enough, be patient enough, be good enough, psychiatrists used to lecture women on this, the man might change. Ladies, we're not going to live long enough for that to happen. Get out. Find a man of basically good character who's already a good man, already kind. There are plenty of dramas to deal with in everyday life, in any relationship, where you can help your partner. But you can't help a vulture. You can't help an abuser. You cannot help them. And you have the problem of seeing yourself as some sort of strong person for taking up a lost cause. These people don't change. People change a little bit. They grow, they mature. But character traits don't change. A scum is a scum from the beginning to the end of his life.
So also your message is, look for the diamond in the rough.
Don't look for the diamond in the rough. Look for the diamonds.
Well, thank you so much for all your great advice, Gail. We've talked a lot about bad boys, Catherine. And so now we're going to be talking about how to avoid them. And we have in our studio today, we're very lucky to have Elaine. She's a very lovely woman, very well educated, very interesting, sweet woman. Also happens to be very sexy.
And single.
So we want to ask you, Elaine, you seem to always get some of the greatest guys, but how do you avoid having bad guys chase you around?
Well, Perry, I think in part it's how you present yourself. I think that the reason I don't have to fend off bad boys is because they aren't even attracted to me in the first place. I think if they walk into a party or a bar and see me with my girlfriends, they can probably tell pretty much right off the bat that I showered that day and bathe regularly. I like to dress very femininely, but not in the, like, overly provocative or trashy sort of way. So
no, but you do like V-neck sweaters and V-necks and things like that. You don't show you show mostly the form, not the flesh, but
right.
You do have V-necks.
Right. I have one on right now. I know you guys
can't
see it.
It does not go to her navel, however.
No, it does not.
Close, but not, no, I'm just kidding.
No, but I was a ballet dancer for many years, and so I'd always worn very fitted clothing, but not clingy or skin tight. So I seem to stop short of that. And then the men who are looking for someone who's feminine, yet a good girl, you know, very nice, they'll approach me. If they've heard me talk, they know I'm not swearing a mile a minute or anything like that. So I think the bad boys sort of look at me and say, eh, you know, she's
not very interesting.
Right. She's not going to give me the time of day or, right, I wouldn't have fun with her anyway. And the other side of that is that the nice guys do show interest because I must be matching something in their head about the type of gal that they would like to spend time with, that they are looking for someone more long-term to date seriously rather than the old saying, you know, the good time girl.
Well, one of the things, Catherine, that I believe is that just like my grandmother used to tell me, you can't find a rose in a weed patch and vice versa. But what you're seeming to say, Elaine, is that just like guys do, hey, there's a type of girl that I would marry and a type of girl that I would just want to have a good time with. So this sort of underlines that. And do you know any cases where women sometimes have that problem with
Definitely.
Deciding whether they want to have a bad boy or a good boy? How does that work?
Definitely. One of my close friends, Jennifer, sort of had to make a decision about a year or so ago. She had always been drawn to and had a lot of relationships with guys she described as fun or wild. They weren't terrible guys, you know, maybe not the baddest of the bad boys, but they were just kind of wild, fun types that she liked having relationships with. But whenever they wanted to get married, she always said no because she was nervous. They were not the type of man that she wanted to settle down and marry and have a family with. So she said to me she realized she had to either stop dating the wild guys or she would never get married and have a family. So she would have to start dating nice guys if that was really what she wanted for her future. So she did. She had to change the type of guy that she would say yes to and spend time with.
That must have been hard.
Yeah.
That's a whole personality alteration.
I think she had to do it very consciously because I think her natural, exuberant nature sort of attracted the wild, fun guys. So I think she sort of just toned it down a little bit. And now she's engaged to this great guy from Indiana, and they're doing great.
How long did it take her to change? Did you see it?
I would say it took her about 6 months to really start shifting, and she had a hard time with it. She was like, oh, but the other guys were so much fun.
You have to surgically remove that part of your personality. You'd have to go through a semi-lobotomy.
Right. So they would do different types of things for dates. You know, she would not be suggesting the, you know, loud rock concerts as much as the symphony or dinners or...
Or that PBS Sunday night 9 p.m. show.
She'll never get there. She'll never get to that point.
Well, what about... So we agree that there is a natural selection process, though, that you do believe that guys who come after you really are selecting you because of the way you look and the way that you carry yourself. And, of course, when they sit down and talk to you, you're a very bright woman. So they are attracted to you. And probably a lot of men, I know this for a fact, are interested in perhaps taking it even further, maybe even marriage. So, in fact, many times even marriage. So,
and you've declined them all?
Wow, so far.
Now, Elaine, have you really always...
Picky. No.
She's very persnickety. But what about actually some bad guys that you've encountered? Are there some guys that you have had in your past that maybe were a little bad?
That's interesting that you should bring that up. While I've never dated a bad boy, you know, someone you would look at and go, oh, my gosh, you know, your father's going to die when you bring this boy home. I've never dated anyone like that. But I was dating a very nice man. Very seriously. And it turned out, I found out, he was a bad boy. I think years ago, he would not have had the opportunity to do what he did, which was to spy on me via computer. But nowadays, it's so easy to buy this computer monitoring software, and he put it on his computer. And then when I was over there, he would say, oh, you know, do you want to check your email? I'm going to go get a cup of coffee or whatever.
Send the spider to the fly, right?
Yes. And I had no idea. And I know it's being popularized a lot now. It was even shown in the recent movie Knocked Up.
How'd you find out he was spying on you? How'd you find out he was doing this?
Well, actually, he tipped his hand. And had he not started mentioning things that sort of were word for word, one sentence almost was lifted out of an email that I had written to my mother about a week beforehand. And then he also mentioned two other men that I had gone out on dates with.
He said, how did he mention them? What did he do?
He brought up, oh, you know, I know you went out with this guy. I know you went out with that guy. We had had dinner in restaurants, but in two different cities. And he said that someone had seen me out at dinner and had let him know. And I thought that was strange. And I said to him, look, you know, neither of us is buying that one because fine, you know, somebody saw me in a restaurant. I was out on a date with someone else. That's fine. But they would never have been able to tell you the names of these two other men. So, you know, we knew it was something else. And at first, I didn't know if it was my cell phone because I don't lock it. So anyone who picks up the cell phone could dial into the voicemail or look at the text messages. You know, I don't lead a secretive, you know, keypad locked sort of life. So what happened was he had mentioned a couple of things that, you know, could only have come out of either my voicemail or my email. So I had to change the password on my cell phone, and now I just always keep my cell phone with me or in my purse so that no one I'm dating would have the chance to open it and get access to it. And I don't bring my laptop over to anyone else's house anymore. And if I use the computer of someone I'm seeing, I just only, you know, surf a restaurant website that we're going to, you know, go eat there later or look up movies. I don't do anything personal on their computers either.
Well, it looks like, you guys, that there is a new kind of bad boy out there, the techno bad boy. In fact, my friend Cynthia had exactly the same problem. Her ex-husband seemed to always be showing up whenever she was with her new man. And it turned out he had the password on her cell phone. He was continuing to check her messages. So that could be a good hint to all of us. If you get a new man, get a new password, get
a new email address,
whatever it is, because there's new kind of bad boys out there. Thank you, Elaine, for joining us today. We really enjoyed our conversation with you.
And now I know something about spyware.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun talking with y'all.
Bad boys, bad, 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 bad boys. Perry, your secrets are incredible. And the thing is, they've been proven to work.
They certainly have.
Yeah. So, ladies, if you want to know how to marry a fabulous man, run down to your local bookstore. Don't walk. Run now. Or get online and go to Amazon.com or go down to wherever books are sold and take a look at Perry's book, How to Marry a Fabulous Man.
And don't forget to tell them about my newsletter, too.
Oh, your newsletter. It's great. Go to PerryLivermore.net. That's PerryLivermore.net. And stay away from those bad boys.
Remember what Oprah says and take a tip from her. And that is, the first time a man shows you who he is, you should believe him.
Without you, a lot of lives could be lost. Women, men, children. 1.2 million people have HIV in the United States. One half of new diagnoses are women, and one third who have HIV don't know it. A lot of people don't get tested. So what can you do? Learn more, get tested, use a condom during sex, and support the National AIDS Fund. Go to AIDSfund.org or call 888-234-AIDS.
This is Paul. He has cancer.
When I was diagnosed, I just sat there in total shock and thought, what do I do now?
This is Connie. She has cancer too.
I couldn't believe how many decisions I had to make about my treatment, about my life.
This is Robert. His wife has cancer.
I wanted to help, but I didn't know how. Then I discovered a group of people dealing with the same thing.
This is the Cancer Survivors Network, the American Cancer Society's online community that allows people who've been touched by cancer to share information, tell their stories, offer words of encouragement, or just find support.
Being able to connect instantly with people who understand is incredible.
To learn more about the Cancer Survivors Network, call 1-800-ACS-2345, or to connect with someone who's been there, visit www.cancer.org. This is the American Cancer Society. This is where to go for help.